people that say, I'm a witness that when you don't have money, but you got you a word, money is going to find you. I'm a witness that when you don't have family or friends, when you got you a word, folks will find you. I wish I had a witness. So don't you worry about what you don't have. You just keep living in the word of God. When you're in the word, the things that you don't have somehow find their way to you. The Bible says in Matthew 6:33, he said that seek ye first the kingdom of God and all his righteousness, and these things shall be added. What's more righteous than the word? I'm seeking the word of God, and since I'm seeking the word, whatever I need, it shall be added. I need a house. I just got a word. I'm going to the bank because I got a word. I wish I had somebody. See, your money acting funny. Your change acts strange. Your credit can't get it, but I got a word. Somebody say yes. Want a word help you? Won't the word deliver you? Won't the word be with you? The Bible says that he'll make your enemy your footstool. That is the word. He said that you are the righteousness of God. That is the word. He said that the greater love had no man than this, that a man would lay down his life for a friend. That is in the word. When you understand there is a word for everything that you might go through, you might be dealing with haters, but he said he'll make it me. Oh, come on and say amen. To lie down in green pastures, he lead me beside the still waters. I wish I had a few people in here that realize that he prepared a table before me in the presence of my enemies. Come on and shout yeah. Shout yes. And give God some praise. Come on, tell your neighbor, I got the word. So therefore, the person you see today, give me just a little while. I'm starting my transformation. Anybody being transformed? He said, be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. I got to get my mind right. I got to put the word in my mind. Commit the word to memory, and everything will be all right. Memorize what the doctor said. Memorize what the people says. But do we memorize what the word of God says? The word of God will make us prosper.
We know your hearts have burned within by the message of Living Word Ministries. Living Word Ministries of Natchitoches, Louisiana. Pastor Altoria Holden Sr. Our church is located 1401 Welch Street, Natchitoches, Louisiana. Our mailing address is Post Office Box 968, Kempsey, Louisiana, 71411. Again, Post Office Box 968, Kempsey, Louisiana, 71411. Our service times are 9:45 a.m. Sunday morning worship and Bible study on Thursday nights at 7:30 p.m. We would love to see you and hear from you. Our doors are open. Living Word Ministries radio broadcast can be heard every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday at 11:30 a.m. until 12 noon. Continuous blessings. Pastor Altoria Holden Sr. and Living Word Ministries, thank you for your support.
This is KAYT. Gina, Alexandria. This is Gospel Radio at its very best. 88.1. KAYT. Praising the Lord.
Circling the globe with the glory of the gospel. This is the Movement of Christ broadcast, featuring the teaching ministry of Dr. John E. Montgomery II. Preaching the uncompromised Word of God, Dr. Montgomery is pastor of the Greater King David Baptist Church, Baton Rouge, Louisiana, and ministers to the needs of all people through the love of God. Join us now for an anointed message from God's Word for your life today.
Trouble don't last always. We are troubled on every side, yet not in distress. Let's look at this word troubled, because it speaks of problems and difficulties and issues that many times are beyond our control. When Paul speaks this to the believers, he included all believers, because this was not just a personal testimony, but it was a believer's testimony. If you are living for Christ, if you are walking in Christ, if you are witnessing for Christ, if you are working for Christ, if you are worshiping Christ, you're going to discover that trouble knows your name. And Paul said it in the 7th chapter of Romans, every time I attempt to do good, trouble goes by many other names. In this verse, he calls it evil. Evil is always what? Present. Evil knows how to show up. And has that not been your experience in life? When you try to do something good, I mean, especially for the cause of Christ, evil just knows how to make its way. He knows how to throw in a monkey wrench, knows how to cause something to go awry, knows how to bring negative folk around you, and naysayers and dream killers and all those who would not have you complete what God has assigned for you to do. Paul knew about this, because you must recognize this word troubled. Again, the light of it suggests that Paul was being hunted as a savage beast. You don't believe it? Turn your Bibles to Acts chapter 23, verse 12. And paraphrasing, it simply says that certain men, but the NIV says over 40 men, banded together and bound themselves under a curse that they would neither eat nor drink till they killed Paul. If Paul said trouble, problems, difficulties are always seeking us, it's because he knew his life was on the line every day for Jesus Christ. He didn't know if the day would be the day, but what he did know was he was not going to stress out over what the day would bring, because he knew who held the day in his hand. So he says, yes, 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 troubled on every side, but yet not distressed. The word distressed means very anxious or with great anxiety, sorrow, or pain. You can go through some stuff, but you ain't got to let the stuff go through you. If we listen at Paul, if we look at his example, Paul shows us how to go through and still rejoice all at the same time while going through. Because here's what Paul wants us to know. Every time you're going through, it's for the purpose of going to. God doesn't send you through anything for nothing. When he's sending you from one place to the next place, sometimes what you go through is bitter. But I promise you, if you stay with the Lord, it'll make you better. He will show you through the life of Paul and other believers how in this life you will have tribulations.
Yes, yes.
You will have stresses. You will have trials and you will have issues. Listen, but what you're going through is common to every believer. I know sometimes you feel like you're the only one going through the stuff you're going through just because you're not telling everybody what you're going through. But I got news for you. Everybody ain't telling you what they're going through. And you'd be surprised at what folks sitting around you are going through, but they got a smile on their face. They got joy in their heart. They know how to praise him in spite of. They know that going through is on their way to something far better than what they've come out of. I wish I had a helper in the house. Secondly, Paul says, perplexed, but not in despair. Puzzled. Sometimes confused. Sometimes can't put your finger on it. Sometimes it doesn't make sense. But even though I can't figure it out, I do know somebody who can work it out. And the word despair means not to lose hope. So when he says not in despair, he's saying, listen, I might be going through, it may be a perplexing time, but I will not lose hope. And so many of the people of God, when they go through something for a little longer than a minute, they start whining and crying like babies, like God has let me down. God has turned his back on me. God done kicked me to the curb. God, where are you? I need you. I'm calling you. Well, God says, well, where were you when I woke you up and you didn't say thank you? Where were you when I blessed you and you gave me a little half kind of praise? Where were you when I asked you to give me the praise and glory that I deserve, but rather you got caught up in all kind of other stuff? Listen, I love the fact that God knows us better than we know ourselves. And he knows what we're going through, how much we can deal with, how much we can handle, how much is going to take us out of here. And God never lets it get to that point because he's still working on us. But somebody going through this morning might not have friends and family and loved ones and those whom they feel they can entrust and place their confidentiality, a confidence in, or have as a confidant. I got news for you. The Lord is right here listening. He's right here waiting on you. He's right here knowing that when you get ready to turn to him, he will be right here ready to turn toward you. And so going through is a part of life. This whole chapter could be considered our light affliction. Because it's dealing with the afflictions that might seem to be heavy in one moment of time, but when you weigh that over against the eternal glory in time, then it's a little thing that you're going through. Why? Because trouble don't last always. Praise God. Let me back up just back to the first verse. You know, trouble on every side, and yet not in distress. Why does Paul feel this way? Because he already wrote to the church at Rome in Romans 8:31 and said, "What shall we then say to these things? If God be for you, who can be against you?" Why would he be distressed when your biggest enemy can't touch your God? When God permits things to happen to you, not to tear you down, but to build you up. And you're going to discover that God's power gives to us the protection that we need. And God himself, listen at this, will fight for us. All through scripture, God tells us, you won't need to fight in this battle. I do need you to show up though, but you won't need to fight. When you do show up, I want you to show up with your hands lifted up. When you do show up, I want you to show up with your head lifted up. When you do show up, I want you to show up looking up and giving me the praise and glory, God said, because all you're going to be doing is cheering me on while I fight your battles. So God, through his power and protection, fights for us. But then when we get to the perplexing part and the despair, what we also need to know is God's peace fixes things for us. He fixes us. And what I love about it is, while he's fixing it, he's giving us peace. I don't know how he's going to work it out. This problem that I had, I just couldn't seem to solve. I tried and I tried. I kept getting deeper involved. Then I gave it over to Jesus. And I stopped worrying about it. I gave it over to the Lord, and guess what he did? He worked it out and gave me peace while he was working it out. And I sat on the sideline and said, "Work it out, Jesus. If anybody can, you can." And then I heard Romans 8:28. I said, "Paul, you keep popping up here. And we know." Are you a part of the we crowd? "That all things work together." That's why I got peace. That's why I have hope. That's why I'm not in despair when things seem to go awry. Because he told me all things. Not some things. Not a few things. But all things work together for how? For good. It might not look like it's working for good. How can this bad thing I'm going through work for good? I'll tell you how, because that's only one part of it. That's only one part of it. There is another part that's coming that's going to mix with this part and going to make this part seem insignificant when God brings it all together. What I'm worrying about now and not trusting God for now, God gonna show you and me later it wasn't worth worrying about. Because he was using it to work for our good. Joseph said, you know, when y'all got ready to kill me, but the Lord didn't let you do it and you threw me in the pit. He said, and then you wind up selling me, and I went down to Egypt, and God started working in that situation, and before you knew it, he elevated me to the second highest position in the land. He told his brethren, what you did, you meant for evil. Don't worry, I ain't gonna hurt you. But God meant it for, I couldn't see it then. But I had to go through the process. I had to go through what he was taking. It was perplexing, but I didn't despair because I knew God was right there. And he gave me a peace that passed all understanding. Won't he do it for you? And then the third thing he talks about is persecuted. Anybody ever been persecuted for Christ? Now, some of us are persecuted because we deserve the persecution. But I'm talking about, have you been persecuted for Christ? Because Paul is talking about those being persecuted for Christ's sake, for living right, doing right, for lifting up Christ, for saving men through Christ, for changing men's life through the power of Christ and his cross. He's talking about being persecuted for doing right. And in a mean, crooked, and wrong world, those who are hell-bent on doing wrong don't want to see you and nobody else do right. But the Bible says, let your light so shine that men may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven, because they already glorified their Father from hell, and they're doing hellish things, and the world loves those things. And that's why when we let our light shine, we stick out like a sore thumb. Why? Because people who are slipping in the darkness don't want the lights on. Something's wrong with somebody who always wanna be in the dark. Get fighting mad if you turn the lights on. I don't want to do nothing in the dark because I can't see. And if I'm not ashamed of what I'm doing, why do I have to do it in the... Are you going to help me today? Yeah, so... Because you know what happens and who comes out at night, don't you? Persecuted... but not forsaken. And incidentally, when you are persecuted, you feel like you are forsaken. Like you're by yourself. Like God has left you alone. Like God has disowned you. Like God has kicked you to the curb. You feel forsaken. Even the Son of God, who was operating in his call, had to call his Father up and say, Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani, which is by interpretation, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Now, God had not forsaken him, but God did turn his back on the sins that were on his Son. He couldn't see his Son for the sins that were now hanging on his Son. On the cross of Calvary, sins past, sins present and sins potentially future sins were all paid for on the cross. At the cross. At the cross. Where I first saw the light and the burdens of my heart rolled away. It was there by faith. I received my sight, and now I am happy all the days. God didn't forsake his son, but he forsook what his work was, and that was to pay the penalty of sin for mankind. God cannot dwell where sin is. Yes, yes. And Jesus felt when God turned his back.
Yes, Lord.
But let me tell you, when you feel like you're persecuted, you oftentimes misread the intention of others. You misunderstand what others are doing or feeling. And so it was in that moment that Jesus was separated from his Father like never before. And it was because of my sins and your sins. And everyone that accepted Jesus as Savior and Lord, he bore our sins. And so we need to know, Proverbs 3, 5, and 6 says, trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not unto thine own understanding. You see, when you think God has forsaken you, you're leaning to your own understanding. When you think God has turned his back on you and left you alone to fight this battle by yourself, you are leaning to your own understanding. When you misrepresent God, misunderstand God, you are leaning upon your own understanding. But if you acknowledge him, you're going to discover he's right there. He's right there waiting on you. You're not waiting on God. God is waiting on you. You want things to change in your life? God's been waiting for you to want to be changed. God's been waiting for you to want to do things differently. God's been waiting on you wanting to do it his way instead of your way. God's been waiting for you to say, God, your will, not my will, be done. He is waiting on you. And if you feel persecuted by the enemy, listen, know that God will not forsake you. Even in those moments when you feel persecuted, man may turn his back on you, family may turn his back on you, loved ones may turn their back on you, friends may turn their back on you, but God said, I'll never leave you, nor will I ever forsake you. So you are not forsaken. Won't you just look at your neighbor and say, you're never forsaken. Somebody needed to hear that. Tell the other neighbor, because they need to hear too. You're never forsaken. And if you ever feel like you're forsaken, the devil is a liar and a deceiver too. Why? Come on, tell me one more time. God. Anybody know it today? God. Doing what? You're not forsaken. He's not through blessing you, because the devil is.